Hello, everyone. We are getting started, and we are going to be doing today the Good, Better, Best worksheet. So I am going to talk for a couple minutes on random stuff because it takes a minute or two for the Facebook Live audience to get here, and we're doing this live this morning. So the things that you need to know. Blah, all of the words are coming out funky this morning. Y'all, I've had two cups of coffee and a Diet Dr. Pepper. It is not a shortage of caffeine going on here. I will say this. This morning, I got up. I was thinking about, you know, we're doing Basics 2.0. We're doing all the things. And I'm working alongside with you guys. And I got up this morning. And I did some, like, deeper journaling than I normally would. And one of the things that I noticed was that I did not want to work out today. Like, I really didn't want to work out. I had every excuse, every justification not to work out. Like I told myself, like, oh my gosh, the next few days, you've got big workouts planned. You don't really need this one. It's raining outside and the greenway's flooded and I was supposed to run. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was really dreading working out, was that I had wanted to be outside this morning. I haven't been outside in a few days because I haven't been outside since Sunday and it's Wednesday. And we've just had tornadoes, torrential rain. We got over an inch of rain just yesterday. So we're soaked here. And my greenway, when it rains a lot, like three or four different places floods out. Like, I mean, I could soak my shoes to get through it. I mean, it's not like I'm, you know, wading in knee deep water, but it's going to cover my shoes. So of course, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to run. I've ran in wet shoes before. Let me just tell everyone that if you ever do a long distance run, if you ever, this is a side tip for running. If you ever do a race or something, it's always neat when it rains when you run. But the worst thing you can ever do is splash puddles. Like people will do it like they're kids and then they'll get a few miles in and they'll have wicked blisters. So keeping your feet dry is a real thing you want to do when you run. So I don't do all that. So I was like journaling and I thought this morning, like I'm literally going to have to dread working out. I am going to have to go and get started when I don't want to. Like, I literally knew, I like, you're just going to be bringing your old shitties with you today. Like, there was no amount of journaling. Like, this is very common. So, and this is what I want you guys thinking about this month. A lot of the things that we're doing, you're going to learn so much more about, you know, the basics, and we're going to be, you know, taking it to another level. And I'm going to learn all this stuff and it's going to sound exciting. It's going to sound easy and stuff, but your brain is going to come along for the ride. You're not going to want to plan every day. You're going to think it's not worth it. You're going to have days where you're just going to be like, oh my God, the results are coming slower than I would like. Your brain is going to bitch and stuff. We can do thought work and I highly recommend writing about that stuff and thinking about it. But I think there's a false expectation of all of us is that I'm going to somehow write and I'm going to have enlightenment and epiphany, and then I'm going to feel highly motivated to get started. And I watch a lot of you do this. A lot of you listen to a lot of the things I say and you like everything I say and light bulbs go off. It's like, oh my gosh, that clicks. Like that makes sense. But you don't take it to the level of where you actually have to do something with it. You're probably... this is the way it's just always worked for me. When you're doing things that are going to change you, that are going to give you different results than you get now, which is just like your current weight, when you are going to do things where you have to challenge yourself to do something that you've not done before, or do something that's going to level up your life, or feel really good or whatever, the price to get there is bringing doubt and fear and dread along for the ride. Just because something clicks, something sounds simple, just because it makes sense, just because you're motivated by me and stuff, does not mean that it's going to be easy to do. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be hard. What it means is that you're going to dread and you're going to not want to do things and stuff. You can't wait until you feel like it to get started. The majority of us never start feeling like doing things until we've done it enough times to prove it's not as bad as we thought it would be. that we've done it enough times to where we experience the other side and realize how good it feels, then the desire and the motivation and the want to starts erupting. So for me this morning, before I know I'm going to be clearing my throat all morning long. This is what happens when I eat before I coach you guys. This is most of the reasons why I usually don't eat till 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning is because I get thick throat until I like to get my calls out of the way before I eat something. But so this morning I'm sitting there and I'm journaling. I'm writing about my workouts. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to schedule all the next ones, getting it all in. And I was like, all right, today's a run day and we're going to be doing it on the treadmill. I can do myself a solid by just like saying, rather than sitting here and hoping I get motivated and trying to come up with good thoughts and like really working hard to get myself to go do it, why don't we just go do it? Let it suck for a few minutes. And then once we get going, we'll be over the hump of sucking. It didn't even mean, like I will tell you, I did two classes because I had a longer run today. Did a 45-minute Peloton walk run class, and then I did a 20-minute one, a walk run that was a little bit less intensity to kind of cool it down. Because I had to, like for me, I'm not a fast runner, so I had to get over 4 miles today. So it took two classes to get there. And it really took me until about 15 minutes in to start forgetting that I was dreading it. Like I literally, it was like, you know how when sometimes like for all of us that wake up and our bones are a little cranky, our muscles are a little cranky, our joints are like, they need some lube. The same thing happens with motivation. Sometimes you have to just start making the plan. Sometimes you just have to start the journaling. Sometimes you just have to start doing something with the dread and stuff to lube up your brain to get into the groove. Like, okay, so if we're doing this, it stops fighting so much. It starts giving into the process. It starts naturally kind of thinking, okay, if we're doing this, what do we need to do to keep going? So I just wanted to say that while we were, I needed a warm up to get all you guys in here. Just kind of share a little bit of what I'm going through. I did get up this morning. I made my doable plan for the day. I did a little extra writing on my plans. Guys, I'm not really doing a lot of journaling in the back of the planner. I did want to say this. You guys don't always have to use the back of your planner and do those other, any kind of other journaling prompts. If you're really focused on the basics this month, just filling out your doable 24-hour planning page and your assessment page, doing your weekly weigh-in each week, that's going to be plenty of journaling. It's asking you all the right questions that you need to be digging into already. Now, if there's things you want to look into a little further, like if you're noticing excuses come up and you want to dig in a little bit more into your excuses, please feel free to do extra journaling. But for a lot of you who are just wanting to take the basic bitch route and stuff and do this at a more doable enough fashion, you absolutely can just be filling those pages out and you get to like decide, look at me, I'm a journaler now. The reason why I designed the planner the way I did is so that when you're answering those questions, it's asking you questions that tie to your why, tie to your purpose. For those of you, like a lot of us, we have a lot of self-loathing. It makes you sit there and think more about like what's right about you and what you appreciate. I think the majority of us as women, we get plenty of practice at telling ourselves what's wrong. We get plenty of practice at looking at what's wrong with our life and stuff, but what we forget to do or what we can't do, but we forget to think about things we can do, like our goals, why they're important. We forget to look at what we're grateful for. You know, we'll talk about what we dread for the day. I want you all to think about this for a moment. Your average conversation with people, like when you call someone, when you call your mom, when you talk to your spouse, when you, talk to a boyfriend or a girlfriend, maybe you are, it's your bestie, whatever. Do you start the conversation with highlighting everything that you love about them and your life right now and what's going right? Or do we mainly just like, hey, what's going on? Nothing much here. Oh, I'm good. You'll never believe what so-and-so said the other day. You'll never believe what happened to me. Like, think about And if you don't know exactly what you do, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen and read your texts. Like, I want you to listen to some of your conversations that you have. And what is your default talking? And I want you to read back some of your texts and stuff. Are you celebrating your life or are you bitching about your life? And you don't even have to be going ham on it. Are you just not talking about it amazing? Are you only pulling apart the few things that suck and disregarding all that's good? A lot of us do that. Okay, so today is the good, we got everybody here, there's over 1,000 of us right now, which is awesome. If you're an accountability group, I'm going to challenge you guys real quick. Right now, what I would do is I would just tag your accountability partners in this post. So if you're watching this live, I want you to go ahead and tag them all so that they know to come watch this, that they don't miss out on it, and they can maybe join us live if they're available. What we're going to do is a live worksheet today. So you need to have pages 16 and 17 of the Basics 2.0 resource guide. We put all the worksheets inside of your guide. Now, for those of you who did not want to print the entire guide and you want to save paper, but you would like to print the worksheet, you can always go to file, print, and do selected pages. So if you don't know, and I know a lot of you are not as like you don't get around the computer as much as I do, you can always just say, like, I just want to print pages 16 and 17 if you would like to do that. And most computers allow you to do that. So just a little tech tip for all of you and all of you who want to save the papers. I also, when I print things, we try not to include a lot of color inside of y'all's PDFs and stuff. One, so that you can save. I know that a lot of you like to print the stuff, but we try to, like, I always print things like in black and white. I also always print things back to back. So I like, trust me, like, I love paper. We go through a ton of paper here, but I like to save as much paper as I can. So I'm always printing things back to back too. That's just another little tech tip for you guys. All right, we're going to do good, better, best. So the first thing that I want to do is I want to go over my good, better, best. And somebody over here had asked me to expand on some sentence that I said. Usually if you guys want me to expand on something, if you'll type in exactly the concept or the sentence that I said, that would be awesome. But I get a delay in your comments when I'm live. So I don't see your comments until about 2 minutes after you've typed it. So a lot of times it's all gone. So we are texting our buds to make sure that they do not miss the things. We have put the resource guide, page 16 and 17, and the link inside the comments. So it's there. If you're on the website, you can always go to the self-study courses and Basics 2.0 and then click it. And all the video replays will always be there for you. The resource guide, everything you need to know about the program is right there. And if you are brand new and you don't want to be taking this course yet because you're still trying to finish an OBS, please don't worry. This course is a self-study. So we're just doing it together this month as a group, but it will always be there for you. So even if you do it this month with us and in 3 months you're like, I want to dust off my basics again, you can do it all over again on self-study by yourself. All right. So I'm going to give you guys some examples of my good, better, best. So I filled out my stuff and put my notes on here. And I thought we would just start today with, like, what does Corinne's look like? Now, when I do this, I want to preface this by saying, while I'm filling this out, I want you to get ideas. If I say something and you're like, oh yeah, go ahead and put that down. The purpose of the good, better, best worksheet is not necessarily for you to have an all-encompassing list of your good, better, best foods. And this is the only things that you're going to get to eat. This is not us trying to, like, sneak in a food plan or a guide. It is to challenge your brain to think differently about food. So I don't think any food is good for you, nor do I think any food is bad for you. I don't think it's helpful to think about food in that way. What I think is helpful is for us to have a great appreciation of all foods, because some foods, like our good foods, they're there to satisfy us orally. A lot of times good foods are, like, today is Cinco de Mayo. This is an amazing day, all right, for us to even be having this conversation. One of our team members, Dina, it loves celebrating her Mexican heritage. And so she was like actually talking to us in Slack this morning about it's Cinco de Mayo. I can't remember what I know she's going to eat some stuff, but I think she was even going to have some drinks. I think it was, let me just rat them out. No, we were actually telling them to go have fun. This is exactly what we want to do is we want to be, let me find our wellness channel. We too have a wellness channel, guys. Team Wellness. So let me get over here. That is not the channel. Somebody tell me where we are, where Dana, somebody tell me where Dana posted this because I'm not seeing it in the wellness channel. It was somewhere else. Or maybe it was in our building inclusivity channel. We have so many channels. I'm so sorry. It's in our building inclusive coaching practice channel. All right. She's talking about Cinco de Mayo. And she says, you know, I'm all about a party and you know, I'm Mexican and you know, I'll be celebrating today by eating Mexican food. So Yesenia went in and was just like, and I might be having a drink or three today. So one of the things that's neat about Good, Better, Best is that good foods are, what they do is they not only honor the foods that we just love for taste, but I think an important part of losing weight is I don't want you guys neutralizing food completely. I don't want you making food like it's just not important. Food is just fuel. I don't think that that is what I ultimately believe. So let me tell you what I believe and what I kind of build everything on and teach you guys. Good foods are ones that taste good, but they also honor family traditions, cultures. They have amazing memories tied to them. So like Dina and Yesenia today, you know, they're very proud of their heritage. They want to celebrate with some tacos and different things that they're going to want to eat today. And I think that a healthy food lifestyle has like includes those kinds of things. And I think that it makes us like when I think about losing weight overall, it's not just about hitting a number. It truly is about losing weight in a way that we want to live our life. And for a lot of us, we do want to keep celebrating with food. We just don't want to be coping with food, comforting with food, and food being the only way that we celebrate. Like every little thing we do gets a food reward tied to it. But like, I will give you a good example. You know, very often when I get my sister-in-law to fry me up some chicken livers, she fries it up like my granny used to do. It always brings back memories of my granny. I know part of the reason, like not only do I love the taste of fried chicken livers, but a lot of it is the memory that comes along with it. Like the Sunday dinners that, I mean, I can't even tell you how many Sunday dinners I had where my grandmother and I would stand in the kitchen and she would tell me, I've saved these livers just for me and you. And like, no one else is going to get them. And like, she and I looking forward to it. And then her calling my name and having them on a special plate and saying, baby, here's your chicken livers I made just for you. That's really special to me. And I think what we have to do is we have to quit looking at food as if it's good or bad. The last thing I want to do is villainize food that means a lot to me. There's plenty of opportunity in weight loss to, you know, like eat foods that make you physically feel amazing. There's plenty of opportunities for us to cut out bullshit eating, stress eating, worry eating, relying on food to, you know, cope with a bad day and stuff. That's all the things that we can, like, we can stop, like, using food and start building the capacity to feel and stuff while we also get to keep things that mean a lot to us. I almost start my period this week, so I'm probably going to be extra emotional. Every day, I'm just crying a little bit more and more. You can always tell. Thank God I won't be on my period at camp. Let's just all take a collective sigh for that one. I'll cry enough without having to be on my rag. So the good foods serve us culturally, familially, whatever that word would be, like with family tradition, traditionally, they serve us just to taste good and enjoy them. And there is nothing wrong with that. Then, so for me, I'm going to go over a few of my good, better, best. First one is nachos. If you know me, you know that nachos are number one. I have this this running joke with Jane. We always talk about, all right, we're going to heaven. In heaven, you get to eat all you want, what you want, and have the body you want. That's always like our thing about heaven. So, but you only get five foods when you get there. So we always have like the top five list. It's like, so what would you eat for the rest of your life? And nachos are always number one. I was like, well, if I could just have a nacho buffet, I almost could knock out everything else. So for me, good nachos are nachos with real melted cheese, not queso. I'm like a fresh shred girl. Like all the fixings, refried beans, that kind of stuff on it. Pulled pork, if I can get it. And it's always at a restaurant. Like I'm not making it myself. So to me, that's what I call the good nachos. Better nachos are nachos that I make at home with the same kind of cheese, but I'm probably going to use a little bit more tomato and onion. I'm probably going to use some black beans. I'm probably going to have my sour cream and my guac on there for sure. And I'm going to use baked tortilla chips. That would be called the good category for me. Now, some of you, that may be like, holy shit, Corinne, that's my best. That's awesome. Put it in your best category. But my best category would be nachos with a lot of veggies and black beans, probably just guacamole. I'm still going to have cheese. But instead of chips, I'm probably using like pepper slices. Like, I don't know if you've seen them on Pinterest, but they take those little baby peppers and they cut them in half and those become the chip vessel. To me, that's a best. It's got all kinds of really, like, it's the freshest of the fresh food. And that's, and a lot of cilantro, always cilantro. I love cilantro. So that would be my nacho good, better, best. Here is my version of pizza. It's going to be pizza from a restaurant. Corinne's not cooking it. Notice how my good category is always, I'm almost always someplace else eating the shit. It's going to have cheese in the crust. Like I want stuffed crust, every meat known to man. And like as greasy as I can get it. I like a greasy pizza. So it's going to be thick crust, thick things, cheese in the stuff, meat all over it. That's going to be my pizza. My better version is going to be, I'm probably still going out, but we're going to do a thin crust now. And I'm going to get a pizza with half, like the half of it, my side is going to have veggies, or I'm going to order me a small one or something. So I'm going to get a thin crust. I'm probably going to forego the meat because I got cheese and I'm going to have veggies. To me, that's a better version. Best version pizza, I'm making that shit at home. I'm probably using a cauliflower crust pizza, not because I'm afraid of carbs, but because I'm trying to get vegetables up. Just always trying to jack up the vegetables. And it's going to have veggies on top. So to me, that would be a version of a good, better, best when it comes to pizza. Moving, a lot of people don't like cilantro. I get this. Jane hates cilantro and won't let me like even take her any place where there's cilantro. So she and I are on the opposite. I could just eat cilantro out of the bag and she is just like going to vomit if she sees it. So, and she's my bestie. Moving on to cheeseburger and fries. All right. And y'all tell me in the comments if this is helpful hearing my version, because I'll stop if it's not. Cheeseburger and fries, just straight up from a restaurant. I'm always at the restaurant. So we're eating it at the restaurant. But better. And this is literally what I did when I leveled up my burger eating when I was losing weight. I'd go and I would get a cheeseburger with no bun and I would get a half an order of French fries. I would just tell the server, hey, tell the kitchen to give me half the fries they normally would. It was just easier for me to order half an order of fries, and it was to sit there and stare at them and wish I could have them. And I knew that's what I would do. And I just didn't want to do that. I was like, I just want to have as much fun as I can when I go out to eat. So I would just tell them, like, just give me half. And if they brought it and they didn't give me half, I would tell the server, I only wanted half the fries. Do you mind taking half away? And they would just fix it. It's amazing. When you tip, people tend to do the things you ask them to do. My best version is no bun. I'm making it at home, or I could be out. And I'm either going to have it with a baked potato with sour cream or maybe ketchup. I like a baked potato with ketchup on it, to be honest. Or I'm going to get a side order of vegetable. So that would be the best version for me. A cheeseburger with no bun, either a baked potato or a vegetable on the side. I get to choose whichever one I want. Next is the ice cream. Good is like Froyo with chocolate chips and cookie dough and cheesecake toppings. Like, you know, those things where you like actually like hand crank it down and then you get to put all the candy you want on top. To me, that's good ice cream. That happens to be my favorite. I'm not one to just want to go get like a scoop of chocolate chip. Now, I will say my favorite, probably one of my all-time favorite ice creams in the whole wide world. If I was going to go and get like a cone right now, I would find a Baskin Robbins. And if they had, this is what I always got when I was a kid. If they had chocolate chip, that would be on the bottom, and on the top would be strawberry shortcake. So I would have a double scoop of that. Barring I'm going there, I'm going to Froyo somewhere where I can like pull on the thing, get like four different flavors, and then load all the candy that I want on it. So ice cream, that would be good. Better is I would probably do a Halo Top. That's protein ice cream. I would do maybe like some Skinny Cows. Like I'd go buy me some Skinny Cows, something along those lines. To me, that would be a better choice. My best choice in the ice cream category is going to be moving on up to either I'm going to make my own homemade frozen protein shake, or I'm going to do like fruit with Greek yogurt and maybe a little bit of nuts as if it's a sundae. Good when it comes to pancakes is IHOP with strawberry syrup and butter. Like, boom. That's how I would do pancakes because that's my favorite pancakes in the whole wide world. And strawberry syrup, I know it's full of all the fake shit, but that's my favorite syrup in the whole wide world. Better would be IHOP pancakes with just the butter. And surprisingly, they must be jackloaded with sugar. I know that's a shock. But you don't really need the syrup. They taste like cake and on their own. So to me, that's a better choice. So I'm going to have some pancakes. I'll get me some pancakes and I just won't use syrup and I'll just spread some butter on there. Best choice, I have two options. Kodiak pancakes that I make at home, or if I'm still going to IHOP, I'm going to get me some eggs with some bacon and tell them I would like some dry whole wheat toast. To me, that's the level up of the pancake. The biggest thing that you need to know about this is good, better, best doesn't mean eventually we're only eating best foods. We're always going to have a mix. We just want to have options. I don't tend to eat a lot of the good foods very often anymore, but it's not because I can't. It's not for any reason other than I just enjoy my life so much now. I enjoy my food life. I enjoy exercising. I enjoy how I feel. And I have the capacity to feel my emotions now and to not layer bullshit, bad ones on top of me. I just don't crave these things as much anymore. I used to overeat these because I didn't sit there and manage my mind enough. I sat there and like self-loathed, people pleased, worried what everybody thought about me, hated on my body and stuff so much that I needed these foods more often in order to feel good. It was the only time I felt good because I wasn't trying to feel good in my mind at all. I wasn't trying to change how I thought about me and the world at all. And the more that I did that, the less reliance on good food that I have. So now when I actually am having good food, it's because I like fucking enjoy it. Like I'm really having it because it's like, man, this is amazing. Like I'm already planning my nachos for Memorial Day weekend because I will be in Vegas. But I haven't had, I literally haven't had nachos. I don't think I've had nachos since the last time I went to Vegas. I might've had the potato chip nachos once in Nashville, but since COVID, I've not had them because I'm not just going to get nachos anywhere. Because when I have them, I really want to enjoy them and savor them. Apple pie. That's the one. That's the good. I don't really like apple pie, but it was the only one that I could really figure out that you guys might all relate to. I don't like pie, but I wanted to give you something. I wanted to give you some dessert realm stuff. Better would be applesauce and granola or like oatmeal with some apples, a little brown sugar, microwave together, something along those lines. Best would be an apple. So I wanted to give you an example of, you could have something in the better category that's full of natural foods, nothing wrong with those, but like if we were going to go with the best option and we were really wanting apples, we would just eat an apple. We wouldn't need to have it in, like in a pie vehicle. Last, peanut butter cookies. Now this is, I can get down on. So good would be eating peanut butter cookies, like for real deal peanut butter cookies. Better would be a peanut butter protein bar. Best would be a sweet potato with peanut butter on it, which if you've never had it before, you are missing out, my friend. Give it a whirl. Microwave a sweet potato for 5 minutes. Slather that bad boy with some peanut butter. I'm going to tell you right now, heaven on earth. All right. So these are examples. I've given you a ton of different examples of how I am like just changing things. Like, all right, if this is good, then what would be a little bit better and what could be considered best? Good is always going to be the things that you are, you know, eating because they have like cultural influence. It's tradition for you. And it just really the only purpose behind it is to taste good too. Better is where it's like, it's a like a leveled up variation of the good, or it's just foods that you're like, they taste good. I like them. I could lose weight eating them, but they don't have to necessarily have any nutritional value packed in. They can, but they don't have to. And then best foods are ones that like had eyeballs, like God probably made it at some point. It had to get washed before it got to you. It's in its most natural state. It's going to taste good. It's going to, like, you know, you can lose weight eating it. And it probably is making you feel physically amazing. Like, you notice that when you eat them, you stay fuller longer. You poop regular. Like you have more energy after you've ate them for a week or two. Your skin's improving because you're eating them. That's always going to be your best category. And like I said, with good, better, best, guys, the goal is not for you to have strict rules and stuff. It's to expand your mind to thinking about, here's foods I love. How could I make them just a little bit better? And then how can I make it even a little bit more better? It's to get your brain trained on thinking about things you're willing to try. Stuff you've always like wondered how it would taste. You're going to give it a whirl. Thinking outside the box on how to get pleasure from some of your favorite foods without just having to eat it in the traditional way you always have, that might be slowing you down with weight loss. So that's all it's about. So for all of you, you can share your good, better, bests, but guys, there's really no right or wrong. So everyone agree with me right now. I'm going to fill out my form and it's going to be perfection when I'm done. And it's going to be perfection because we've decided it is. Corinne automatically gives everyone who completes this an A+. There's no wrong doing this. If you do it, though, you have allowed your brain to start trying to figure out, what are all the foods that I actually enjoy that I can eat? Rather than sitting around thinking about all the food you can't have, because you wouldn't lose weight. If you want your brain to start thinking something new, you've got to start thinking something new. If you want your brain to think something new, you also have to start doing something new.
otherwise, if you keep thinking the same broken thoughts that I can't have this, I can't have that, you practice broken thoughts. You get really good at thinking that all the time. You get really good at villainizing food. You get really good at restricting and then binging. You get really good at having no impulse control around your favorite things. And I don't want you to have no impulse control. I want you to have all the control around food. I want you to have all the healthy relationship around it. And that's why we do these worksheets. Now, people ask like, well, when do you level up? Like, what if right now a lot of my 24-hour doable plans, what if they're very reflective of the good category? I think that's great. You know why? Because you're making a damn plan. Guess what? Old you used to just eat all this shit on autopilot and feel sorry for yourself that you weren't losing weight. We're already leveling up because we are writing down every single day like, all right, I want you to think about this. When you make your plan, here are the foods that I am building a better relationship with today. Here are the foods I am learning not only how to include, but I'm also learning if I want to include them long term or not. And that will only be based upon what I feel like eating each day. That's it. We're getting out of all the rules and stuff. So when is it time to try, like if you've been eating, let's say I've been eating pizza, all right? When is it time for Corinne to make the switch to thin crust? So let me tell you how it went for me back in the day. I had made, like we would always go and would get our thick crust. What made the difference for me was the more I got good at doing things I said I would do. So if I said, we're going to have pizza and it's going to be thick crust and all the meat. And I'm like, so I'm only going to have 3 slices. Like I used to be the girl that ate, well, let's be truthful. I used to eat a whole pizza. I never a large, but at least a medium. You know, you got to cut back somewhere. If I ever got a large, it was because my mother or my brother was going to be with me. Only one other person though. If we got a large, that's only, you can only share that with 2 people. That was the way it was at my house. It was like 2 people can have a large, but not 3. That's like somebody's getting shortchanged. That's just how we rolled. So most of the time I was like eating a medium by myself. And then I got to where I could eat half a medium. And then I got to where I was like, all right, I'm a 3-slice girl now. Like, this is what I got to be, like 3 slices. And I started realizing that there were times where I was trying to pull out the 3 smallest slices. So for me, leveling up at first was really learning how to eat less. When I was losing weight, the way that I was getting to eating to just enough was by consciously saying, like, I'm only going to eat this much because I'm realizing that when I eat what I traditionally do, like, it's just, it's too much food. Like, I'm eating to full. And I don't mean too much in a bad way, but it was like, I could tell physically, it's like, when I really started paying attention to eating, I also, like, I didn't realize how much time I was spending eating and not paying attention to the physical price that I was paying afterward. I was only enjoying the food, and then I would just zone out, and I wasn't paying attention to how bloated I was after, how much burping was involved. I mean, I was like, you know, early 30s, late 20s. And when I really started paying attention to all this and started like thinking through, I started reducing stuff because the more aware that I became of how much I was eating before I really even stopped eating at enough, I started seeing the parts that weren't so glamorous. So I want you guys to think about this. When I was first starting, or before I first started, I was just eating a lot of the food and thinking that I was really enjoying it. But what I was really doing was getting away from feeling bad a lot of times, which automatically felt better. Didn't mean I felt good. It just meant I was moving away from feeling bad. I was usually more moving into relief, not happy. And it took some like thinking on that for me to realize, okay, so that's different. And then when I started really paying attention, I was noticing like the relief of shutting down some of the other stuff, but I wanted to keep paying attention. Well, then I noticed I was feeling physically bad at the amount that I was eating of these foods that I did love the taste of. But having all of that information allowed me to think, well, maybe I can just eat some of this shit that I really like, but maybe just eat less of it. Let's see if that makes a difference. So for me in the early days, a lot of my leveling up and stuff was really coming from just getting aware of what was really happening instead of like turning a blind eye to it and not judging myself for it. Like I didn't sit there and think like, oh my God, you're such a cow for eating all this food and now you feel bad. I really was trying to figure my shit out. When I tell you guys, I was committed to, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out. And every single day, I'm going to try to find something I can do a little bit different. My mind was so locked on that, that it kind of like brought up the wall against my own shame and judgment. When I was really nervous about not being able to figure out, like in every other diet, when I would sit there and allow myself to just think like, oh my God, I got to do all these things because I'm, you know, or I'm not going to lose weight. And I would sit there and work like, I'm like, I hope I can do this. I don't think I can do this. When I stayed in that mindset, that didn't build a wall against shame and judgment. It like opened the front door for it and said, I have a welcome mat and a bouquet of flowers over here for you. Would you like to come in, shame and judgment? When I was so determined to figure it out and find little ways to get wins, it was like I shielded myself from all of that. My brain wasn't trying to find ways to pick me apart anymore. It literally was like turned on to, there's got to be some small wins here. So when I would pay attention and notice that, God, I'm eating the foods I love, but I think I'm just eating too much of it. Let's just try some changes. That's when I knew it was time. So that's what I want you guys to get focused on is making the small changes. I know a lot of you have a story around it won't be good enough. It's more than enough. It's what compounds fastest. It's what also saves you from a lot of that shame and worry and judgment because you're looking for ways to move forward. So one thing that you can look for is noticing, like, now that I'm kind of telling the truth about my food experience, do I want to try something a little different to see if I can physically feel better? Do I want to try, like, nuancing the food just a little bit? Do I want to try just eating a little bit less of it and see what happens there? Guys, the roadmap is yours. I don't give you specifics for a reason because half of you are going to do really well with leveling the food itself up while the other half will really struggle. Half of you will do really well with just eating the foods you really like, but learning how to eat less of them until you find that comfortable zone where you're losing weight and having them. And then the other half of you taking some of the food away does not work for you at all. You're going to want to eat a little bit more. You know, some of us are volume eaters and some of us are taste eaters. All of you prefer one over the other. A lot of us, I know I'm both. Well, we all like food to taste good. And probably if we all could have our wish and our dream, we could be like me in heaven with my endless nachos, having the body I want, eating all we want. But if you had to choose, if you literally had to choose, if somebody said, you're either going to get the food you love for the rest of your life, or you're going to get to eat as much as you want for the rest of your life, which one would you choose? Whatever that one is, it's the one that you lean on. And that would be the one that I would work on first. You know, I'm going to be driving it home all month long. The four basics, the goal is to get to where you're doing them all consistently over time. Some will be easier than others. Some will be harder than others. But you don't have to slay them all in one day. We're going to figure out all the wins we can get until it's all built together. The four basics for me came together over time. I didn't start on day one with all of them. All right. The other thing you can look for is if you're getting pretty consistent with like, all right, now I'm consistently following my plan and eating these things. I wonder if I can do. That was really a big indicator for me. A lot of my inner chatter was switching. Like whenever I thought, I wonder what will happen if I do this. I wonder if I can do this. I wonder what it would be like if I tried this. I wonder if like tomorrow I can just do this. That was an indicator when my brain started asking those questions. I was totally ready to just start trying things. And on the other side would be the answer if it was going to work or not. I wasn't going to know until I tried. Some stuff worked, some stuff didn't. If it didn't work, I just went back to what I was doing until I was ready to try again. Some stuff worked right out the gate, felt even better, was easier than I thought. And I was like, all right, we can just keep doing this. This is amazing. I just didn't make a big deal out of trying some things. And I didn't make it a big deal if some stuff I wasn't ready for. I was ready to try, but I might not be ready to do it day in and day out. I was ready to try it and see what I could learn and what I could pull from it. The next thing y'all ask me all the time is when it comes to good, better, best, there's a lot of tends to be shame in eating the good foods. And here's what I want to tell you. There's no shame in the good foods. We're just not going to do that part anymore. But always be willing to be wrong about what you think you like to eat and what you don't like to eat. A lot of you have a story from like when you were five that there are certain foods that you don't like. Let me tell you how the tongue works. It is the only muscle and organism in your body that doesn't really get old. It can change your entire life. It is malleable. Tastes do change. They can be conditioned, all kinds of things. And I know this because when Logan was little, he went to speech and OT therapy, and he had to have food therapy. He had to like learn how to like basically get the food in his mouth and stuff. But I remember they would tell me how lucky I was. They were like, you know, Logan doesn't have to go through food training because he did not have texture issues and he did not have a lot of aversions to foods. Logan would just literally eat anything I put in front of him. And so, except for cake, he always hated cake. He loves cake now. He was a baby. His first birthday, we got him a smash cake. It was a duck. It was adorable. He would not go for it. And I thought, well, if I just put some icing on his lips, you know, he'll taste the good icing and then he'll go crazy. He always cried like this. So his bottom lip would roll and then his mouth would get really wide and it would sound like he would go, it was like a siren going off. He started bawling. He wanted no part of his smash cake. He did not like cake. And then he cried so hard. I was like, well, take the cake away. We put cheese cubes and blueberries in front of him. And he shoved so many blueberries in his mouth that when he was chewing, he had to put one finger over his mouth just to chew to keep them all in. That was that baby's first birthday. So I was talking to this chick and she was just telling me about how they train adults and children how to get over food aversions and how to get over texture issues because the tongue will always change. So do not sit there and think that you're somehow never going to be able to lose weight or whatever because I don't like vegetables. I don't do this. Your taste buds can change over time. So if you use good, better, best where you kind of start sneaking some stuff in, and trying a few little things, drinking more water and stuff, you won't believe how your tongue and your mouth can get used to new tastes, new sensations, and new textures. So I just want to say that so that for all of you, you can think about that. I used to think that I hated fruit and vegetables outside of like having a salad with a lot of dressing on it and Jell-O on the side. And now, like, I love, like, raw crunchy vegetables and hummus and things like that. I did not grow up that way. That was because I introduced things over time. And so for all of you, you can do that. I promise you. Just take your time. Don't feel like you got to do it all in one day. Then the last thing It's just be willing to try things instead of thinking about the last time. So a lot of you get really caught up in like, I'm only going to be able to lose weight if I just eat the best foods because this one time, blah, 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 blah. Or you get caught up in, I'm never going to be able to eat these kinds of foods because this one time I had a piece of celery and gagged my head off. I don't care what happened in your past, and neither should you. Your past, I've said this 1,000 times, your past is a teacher. It's not a fortune teller. So you can go back to your past. You can look for some things that worked, but you also need to look at, and did I like it? And if I was going to incorporate it this time, what's going to be different? Is this time, like, I really want it? Or am I just telling myself I should? So examine things that you're including when it comes to your food. I would, for a lot of you who really have a hard time with like food rules, thinking that some foods are good, some foods are bad, these are the off-limit foods, that kind of stuff. When you write your plans, really write one sentence next to everything you choose, every little thing you choose on it. Just do it for a few days. Why am I putting this on my plan? Is it because, like, I really love this? This makes me feel good. And don't lie to yourself. Be honest with your reason. You don't have to change the plan. I just want you to get really conscious and aware of the mindset you plan from. Or is it because you think, well, I should eat this. I mean, I'm like 47 years old. I shouldn't have carbs first thing in the morning. Like, listen for your rules that you might be applying. Do that for a few days and then start looking back over it and see, was it easy to follow my own rules or not? Or am I breaking them? Do I even want to keep these rules now that I know that I have them? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But start questioning the things that you put on there. All right. I want to take just a few questions because this is a worksheet. So you guys, all you have to do is, now that you've heard me talk about all this, you complete your worksheet. And then I suggest, I know we have a thread today. I suggest, like, anywhere you want, you post pictures in the group. If you want to, if you have any questions, take it to Ask Coaches if you're not on Facebook. So if you're not on Facebook, just go to Ask Coaches. If you're on Facebook, you can, like, post in the threads and ask about things. Like, some of you may have foods that you're just stuck. So if you're going to ask, like, here's one I'm really stuck on trying to figure out, like, what a good, better, best would be for, this is what I would do. Don't just ask for opinions. Take a guess first. Prove to your brain that you don't get stuck anymore and that you don't know. You're willing to guess. That's the thought I want you to have. Because one of the things that I watch you guys get caught up in inside of trying to lose weight is assuming, like, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. And that's really just a mask for, I'm afraid I'll be wrong. And what's underneath that? Well, if I'm wrong, I probably won't be able to lose weight. And if I can't lose weight, then I'm going to think all these things. All those things that you're going to think is what's preventing you from taking guesses, trying new things, all that other kind of stuff. All of that is what I want you clean. If you're going to journal and go to the back of your planner, take what I just said and, like, all those things at the very root, that is stuff to go to the back of the journaling pages on. That is the stuff to say, what else could be true? Why is this not a worry or concern? What's different this time? Write about all of that and then take one thought. I am thinking, I'm currently thinking, it's currently making me feel, and this is how it's playing out in my due line. Then think, and I could be thinking this on purpose every day, writing it down on my 24-hour plan at the top, which will make me feel, which will cause me to do these things. All right. Let's see. I see what my best is right now may become my better after time, and I could continue to level it up. Is that the right way to do it? Yeah. That, in fact, Nikki, that's an excellent point. I'm really glad you said that. Guys, if you'll just use hashtag ask if you have a question, I'm going to try to get through as many as I can in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to have you guys just retype them. So such a good point. the stuff that I probably did at 50 pounds down in my best category was the best I'd ever done in my life. But now is more things that I would probably consider better and maybe even some of my good. So it's one of those things where what I want to promise all of you is that start where you are, like come up with this month's good, better, best. And if you want, like once every quarter, you know, like I run everything on our business. Like we do all of our big projects every quarter. We do big planning every quarter. Once every quarter, take like worksheets like good, better, best and see if anything's changed. See if you want to change anything. See if you want to move anything around. It's not just that your taste buds will change and it's not just your pant size and your weight. You guys are going to change so much over time. That's the best change that we'll ever have. And that's why I teach you guys how to do all this work, because I'm not just trying to change like the size of your pants and what you eat. I'm really trying to change you as a person so that you can see how great you are. And you get to see all the things you can do that you've possibly held yourself back in life all because of weight or thinking this is such a big problem. Let's see. I tried a good, better, best for potato chips because I binge on chips. I tried the baked Lays and still binge. Is it possible that I can't have those foods? No, the binging isn't because it's good, better, best. Like a lot of people will binge on fucking vegetables. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're eating your face off, there are people who binge on healthy foods. So my friend Jane is a real good example of sometimes, and Jane would not mind me telling you guys this. She's on vacation today, so I'm not talking behind her back. But she has had binges that started with like two bags of kale chips, moved into some cashews, then she moved over to rice cakes, and she just kept adding like in her brain, she was wanting to binge, and so she was justifying with these foods. The problem isn't chips. So we can be unwinding, like changing out your foods, guys, doesn't end emotional eating. What ends emotional eating is understanding, why did I want to binge to begin with? Chips is just what I ate. That just was on the do line. That could have been regular chips, baked chips, kale chips. It could have been any chips. If I'm feeling miserable and want to get away from myself with a binge, I can do that with anything. I can do that with cigarettes, shopping, Netflix. So it's not the vehicle. So it's just one of those things where you want to look at, like for chips, I mean, that is a good, better, best. But for you, it's like, I need to do the work on my binging. So if you're not a member of the Binge Better Facebook subgroup, we have one. We have a whole Binge Better course that Jane facilitated, and she does a once a month Binge Better call here in the membership. You can go over to nobswomen.com and you can find that if you go to the community section, where the Facebook groups are, you'll be able to find the Binge Better. And then the course is in the self-study section. Is there a place where there are recipes that members post? We actually have a subgroup, Joan, for foodies. So you can go to the foodies subgroup. So if you go over to nobswomen.com and you go to, I think it's Facebook groups or community. I forget what the name on the menu is. But if you just look for where the Facebook groups are, the subgroup is called Foodies. They share recipes over there. All right, guys. That's everything. Here's one more. This is a good one. I want to hear this one. What is the fear and anxiety around decreasing amounts, like going from 3 to 2 scoops of ice cream? So it's a thought. It's not the 3 to 2. It's when you write down your plan, 2 scoops instead of 3, your brain has a thought. It might be like, oh my God, that won't be enough. Or, oh my God, that's going to set me up for a binge. Or something along those lines. That's the thought about reducing the amount that is going to trigger fear and anxiety. So what you want to do is you want to figure out, what else could I think? You could also think, I'm going to have 2 scoops tonight to see what it's like. I'm going to have two scoops tonight. And if I want three tomorrow, I can always go back. That relieves fear and anxiety. So coming up with thoughts that are different about going from three scoops to two is where you want to, that's where you'll hit your magic. Okay, that's everything, guys. 1 hour of power. So good, better, best. Get it done. Keep enjoying Basics 2.0. Remember, our Wednesday calls are at 9 a.m. Central Time. They are not at 8:30. I'm keeping the normal Wednesday time that I always do for this month. Tomorrow, I will be back for our next class, 30-minute class, at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here in the Facebook group. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.